Thank you for downloading the Radio Cardiff Sport Podcast. For more information about the show, go to our blog,
radiocardiffsport.blogspot.com.
Hello there, my name is Smoking Joe Frazier, sharp as a razor. You listening to the radio, 98.7. Check them out, they turn you on.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
This is the Monday Night Sports Show on 98.7 FM, Radio Cardiff.
Good evening, I'm Francis Taylor and this is the Monday Night Sports Show. I'm here with Simon Williams and Yusuf Haider on 98.7 FM in Cardiff and online at radiocardiff.org with award-winning sports chat and debate. And coming up on the show, we review the weekend's football, including Cardiff's superb 4-0 demolition of Burnley on Saturday, which sees them return to the top of the Championship. The Premier League rarely fails to disappoint, and this weekend's action saw two sendings off for Chelsea in their 3-2 defeat by United, a goal rush at Reading, and allegations of racial language against referee Mark Clattenburg. Simon Williams rounds up the week's sport, including Sebastian Vettel's fourth consecutive F1 win, plus his regular ice hockey update, including some post-match fireworks at the Big Blue Tent in Cardiff. Yusuf's got all the latest from the UFC, and we've got our Fantasy League Top 10 Countdown. And you can get involved with the show by giving us a call on 02920 235 664, or send a text on 07728 758 759, or email the studio sports@radiocardiff.org.
Across Cardiff on 98.7 FM and online at radiocardiff.org.uk. You're listening to Radio Cardiff Sport.
Only on Radio Cardiff.
It's 4 minutes past seven. A very warm welcome to the Monday Night Sports Show here on Radio Cardiff 98.7 FM. And it's a very good evening to Yusuf Haider.
Good evening, Francis.
Good sporting week?
Not a bad sporting week.
Not a bad sporting week. You've got a highlight for us?
My highlight is going to be the fact that I took a week off last week and I caught up with...
That's always a highlight.
Always a highlight. I spent that time catching up on the Ultimate Fighter. There's currently two Ultimate Fighter series running simultaneously. One is the regular American one, which has Shane Carwin as one judge and big country Roy Nelson as the other. That's the usual fireworks that comes along with the American version of the show. But they do internationals, and last time out it was the Ultimate Fighter Brazil, which was the first time ever.
That's the spiritual home of MMA, of course.
Which, well, the spiritual home of jiu-jitsu.
Of jiu-jitsu, okay.
Which is kind of the foundation of modern MMA. So you could... Yes, there's certainly an argument.
Oh, shut up, you carry on.
No. Obviously, he's the spiritual home of jiu-jitsu, which is a massive impact on where MMA is today. But it was the first time that they did an Ultimate Fighter there. Now, this time, this is the first time they've done an Ultimate Fighter in Australia. But the interesting thing from our point of view is it is UK versus Australia.
The Ashes.
It's not the Ashes, but interesting you bring it up. It's the Smashes. And there's some interesting characters in there. So it's very interesting. It's good viewing. My brother-in-law commented that you could see the difference in the quality
between the American show and the UK-Australian show. But
in a positive or negative way?
He implied in a negative way.
Right.
But actually, when I watched it and cast my expert eye over it, I actually don't see the difference, because I just think literally the American show is shinier and it looks better, and you know they present it better, and it makes the standard of the fighting look better. But some of the fights that I've watched haven't really been of a very high standard, and I think that so far all of the UK versus Australia have been to a fairly good standard. Obviously, it is UK and Australia, and they don't normally provide you with the best mixed martial artists, but I think it's a fairly good standard and a very good show.
Great stuff. Cheers, Hughes. Good evening, Simon.
Good evening.
And good sporting week for yourself?
Not so bad, thank you.
It always is a good sporting week for Simon Williams. He gets himself around. Tell us all about your highlights, Si.
Mine's got to be Cardiff City beating Burnley 4-0.
Fantastic.
I would say the best performance of the season so far. Charlie Austin arrived, Burnley. He was on fire. He's been banging them in left, right, and centre. The guy who was both City were able to keep him out and keep clean sheets. And then with goals from Joe Mason, Craig Noon, Matthew Connolly, and Aaron Gunnarsson, super sub. City won 4-0. It was good to see Bo Young playing. I mean, finally starting a game, which was really good to see him playing. Man of the match, Craig Noon. In an outstanding game. I mean, every time you see him, he looks really good. And the team is, and we're able to have players out with injuries like Craig Bellamy, Tommy Smith, Kevin McNaughton isn't playing now. Connolly's taking his place.
Maynard out
for the season.
And
yeah.
we're still banging him in.
I mean, City are really looking good this season. I mean, definitely going to be there towards the end of the season.
Great stuff. More on that in a second. And, of course, we've got F1 coming up later. Yeah. That's going to be my highlight. Vettel is imperious at the moment. Sebastian Vettel's fourth consecutive win. Quite extraordinary. I mean, given a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Alonso possibly walking away with the championship. Now, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. Vettel's the man on form. Fantastic stuff in the Formula One, and I know loads more coming on that a bit later. So, great stuff. We're going to be talking Cardiff City in a second.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf, and Simon on 98.7 FM Radio Cardiff.
So, Si, it's your highlight, and definitely the biggest sporting news in Cardiff this weekend has been Cardiff City's return to the top of the Championship. They're now, I think, 3 points clear at the top. Leicester, of course, faltering over the course of this weekend. Yeah. Sorry?
Against
Crystal Palace, that's it. As you said just now, a fantastic performance by the Bluebirds. And I know we always say that we're waiting for the slump, but at the moment, it's looking fantastically good. And Cardiff City Stadium, fortress. Cardiff City Stadium.
That's right, the magnificent seven, being in tremendous seven home league games, and we've won all seven. Absolutely tremendous. But you've got obviously got to go back to the Wofford game midweek. I mean, City didn't play that well in that game. Wofford went 1-0 up. I mean, luckily they had two players sent off. I mean, one was debatable if he should have been sent off because the referee didn't really see it. And then the second one was more of a sending off. But then with Peter Whitnam scoring again and Gunnarsson coming on, as I say, in Super Sub, I mean, coming on and getting a winner, City were able to get the 3 points, which is very important, especially as Bill Shankly always used to say, I mean, if you can win when you're not playing well, that's a sign of a really good side. I mean, they said City weren't at their best on Tuesday. But then you come to Saturday and City were absolutely brilliant. That's without doubt the best they've played this season. And I mean, Craig Noon totally should have scored the first goal, hit the post. But with Joe Mason following in, Joe was able to put it in. And put us 1-0 up. I mean, good to see Joe Mason back on the score sheet. And then, as I said, with the other goals from Craig Noon, Matthew Connolly, who's taken the place of Kevin McNaughton, and because people were wondering what was going to happen when Ben Turner come back, because Ben Turner and Hudson have been such a good partnership, but Connolly and Hudson were also looking a good partnership. So Malky's been looking at it and seeing, what can I do? And he's looked at Connolly, and Connolly's looking pretty well at right back. He had a good game on right back, and the previous game, as I said, even the game on Tuesday, he had quite a good game. So he's getting accustomed to this position. I mean, McNaughton, like when he does come in, he can play, if him or Taylor get injured, he can play on the left or right. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And so they say, Bo Kyung, when he come on, I mean, he played a full game and he has some great touches and he really looks like what we all thought. I mean, especially people who went down to the Olympics when the Koreans were playing down there and seen some of these, the way he was playing in that game. And he certainly looked like one as fans were excited about. But yeah, he's really going to look a promising player and I look forward to seeing a lot more of him as the season progresses.
Great stuff. If you're at Saturday's game, then do give us a call. Come on live on air and have a chat with Yusuf, Simon and me. It's 02920235664. That's 02920235664. Or if you don't feel like talking live on air, you can send us a text. It's 07728 758 759. 07728 758 759. Either way, it should be a free text or a free call if you're in the local area. Yus, I know you weren't at Saturday's game, but I mean, Mr. Williams here is giving his great match report as ever. You know, Simon's talking about it being the best performance so far this season. 7 wins on the trot at home. It's been mixed form away. 3 losses, 2 wins, 1 draw. But it's still a fantastic season, isn't it, shaping up?
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, the one thing I would say about having Connolly at right back, first of all, it's a bit of a waste of his height because he's extremely tall. And, you know, that's brilliant when you've got crosses coming in. But it's all very well having him there right back against Watford and against Burnley. When he comes up against a fast, skillful left midfielder, that's when we'll really see how good he is at right back. And I mean, I'm a little bit biased because it's a shame for me to see the end of you know, Kevin McNaughton's career. Not the end of his career, but he was the first name on the team sheet. And you know, I've made many a case on this radio show that he should potentially be our captain, because just super Kev, you know, that's all I got to say. He gave 100% in every single match, and you know, very often he was the one that dragged a misfiring team, and you know, a little bit dejected, and they'd give up in matches, and it would be McNaughton who would drag them kicking and screaming back into the match and inject some belief into the team and the fans. So it's been hurting me a little bit when we've heard people, you know, say, oh, let's get McNaughton out. If it's for the benefit of the team in the long run, then fair enough, it's got to be done. But let's, you know, let's have a little bit of respect, I think, for a player that
been a great servant, hasn't he?
He was been a brilliant servant. Yeah, yeah. And he will continue to be a brilliant servant whenever he's called upon.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I'm sure, I mean, we haven't seen the last of him playing for the first team. I mean,
absolutely not.
As you were saying, I mean, with different games, Malky's going to obviously be chopping and changing his defence and midfield. He's got such a great squad now. I mean, yeah, he'll definitely get his chance again. And as you said, with the few years he's been here, he's been an absolute brilliant servant. Nothing against Kevin McNaughton. You know, I was shocked myself when I actually seen he wasn't playing.
A perfect Cardiff City player,
yeah,
really.
Definitely.
The type of player that Cardiff City fans love. Mm. And he did have a lot of love. And I hope that, you know, fans still keep that love for him, because absolutely one of the best. You know, I enjoyed paying money to go and watch the performances of Kevin McNaughton, just true grit for the entire 90 minutes. But with regards to our season, obviously we're top of the league, and that's all that needs to be said. The squad is a lot better than it's ever been, which has always contributed to our slumps, I think, is the lack of ability to drop players and change players and chop players. But I think the most important thing, the most important sign that looks good for us at the moment is if the goals stop coming from one particular player, there's a bunch of other players ready to take their place. And the goals are coming in from everywhere. Very creative team. With goals coming from central midfield, from Whittingham and Gunnarsson when he comes on as well. And when he plays, that's the most promising thing for us at the moment. We always start the season free scoring, or we have for the last couple of years. But the goals were coming from one or two players. But at the moment, they're coming from all angles, which is the most important sign, you know. And that's the most promising thing for us. And great to see Gunnarsson
because again, he's another player that for me epitomises what a Cardiff City player should be. Real grit and passion, commitment, loves getting stuck into a tackle, which is always my favourite thing in a player. That's why my favourite position is central midfield and defensive midfielder. And for Gunnarsson, I once had a lot of flack for calling him the Vieira of the Championship. But for me, he was and he still is, because for every ounce of grit and, you know, steel that he displays, he's got a deft touch going forward, and he has been chipping in with goals since day one here at Cardiff City. So great to see him involved on the score sheet on the weekend as well.
And obviously you've got his thrower, never really good weapon that City can use. He's absolutely tremendous player when he's able to, he's played, when he's chosen.
We talk about the seven matches on the trot, unbeaten now at home. This is Cardiff City are now two wins away from equaling a club record of 9 successive home victories, and they're now unbeaten in 13 on their own patch. It really is becoming a fortress, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Do you think it's taken them quite a long time to sort of settle into the new stadium? Obviously, Ninian Park was 99 years of history, etc., etc. But now is the Cardiff City Stadium really sort of coming alive to the genuine prospect of, you know, a real push for the Premiership without the usual false hopes?
Yeah, I think it really is being. If you take the colour of the situation out of it, it's a really good City fans, a lot of confidence. I mean, when you look on the bench, there's a lot of strength. I know you've got your owners have apparently turned around and said there will be money available in January. I mean, we'll have a word with Malky and money will be available. Be interesting to see how much is available. But
it can be interesting to see who they decided they need to buy.
Exactly. I mean, that is going to be a very good...
Such a strong squad.
That's absolutely, well, probably the best squad we've had for many a year.
The temptation will be there, of course, to, you know, we'd hope not to go ahead and buy players just for the sake of it, just because there's cash rolling about, and then maybe, you know, bring in the wrong couple and it can upset the balance.
Yeah,
the squad is there. So I imagine if they bring anyone in, it'll be one, maybe two players, and they'll be real quality.
Yeah.
Because there's no point in bringing anyone else in. We're stacked in every area, especially with Kevin McNaughton dropping down to the bench.
Yeah.
If he's going, like you quite rightly said, he can play on the left, he can play on the right, and he can play in the middle. So, and he's a very experienced, very good caliber Championship defender. If Kevin McNaughton was to be put on the transfer list, there'd be no end of clubs for his service. Dare I say a couple of lower Premiership clubs, and I'm sure Scottish Premiership clubs, they're probably devastated to have let him slip to Cardiff in the first place, and now they're really seeing what he is capable of. So it's going to be interesting to see if they sign anyone, who they do decide to sign.
And it's been great to see Vincent Tanner last couple of games. I think it's the last 3 games he's actually been over for. You've seen him on the telly. He's had his suit on, and he's had his Cardiff City shirt, his red Cardiff City shirt underneath. I mean, he certainly has finally got the bug, and things are definitely looking good all around for Cardiff City. Really.
Not many people are going to start moaning about the strip colour if they got to the Premier League. They're going to want to keep the red. Well, we'll see. Well, Si, we've talked about the away form. So far this season, it's been 3 losses, 2 wins and 1 draw. And, of course, 2 crucial away matches coming up now in consecutive matches against Bolton, first of all, at the Reebok, and then Charlton at the Valley away. Both difficult places to go to. And again, you know, no team in the Championship should be underestimated.
In the Championship, exactly. And shout out for Sky. I mean, if Cardiff City fans are not able to get to the game, apparently the game is live on Sky at 5:20, I think it is.
It is.
Saturday.
Bolton Cardiff, live Cardiff, this Saturday. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you'll be able to watch a game on there. Mm. But Bolton haven't got off to the start people would have thought they would have. But when their new manager, I mean, let's see what he can do. I mean, I was surprised that really Dougie Freeman left Crystal Palace. So Palace are 4th. He's done tremendous. And hopefully Lenny Lawrence, who was Cardiff City manager, and he was the manager who actually got us up to the Championship. I mean, hopefully he can... He's taken over his... He was his assistant. He's a caretaker at the moment. So hopefully Kenny can... Lenny can stay at Palace and he could do quite a good job there. But
Palace unbeaten in 10 games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dougie Freeman done an absolutely brilliant job. I mean, he's brought some really talented youngsters through for Crystal Palace there. Mm. But he's gone on to Bolton. I mean, it'd be financially, you would think Bolton a lot bigger club than Crystal Palace. But it should be a tough game, especially being Dougie Freeman's home game, his first debut game. But Cardiff City, I can see us definitely going up, and hopefully, if we can get 4 points off the two games, it set us up really nicely for the Hull City game a week Saturday.
Yeah, but these two away games are actually crucial, because you look at the chasing pack, you've got Leicester, Middlesbrough, Palace, Blackburn, Hull going pretty well, Forest, Wolves. You know, these are all great sides.
Yeah.
And we're only 13 games in.
That's right. I mean, the season's
can't get too excited.
No, the season's going to go right to the end, is no doubt. And the Championship is probably more exciting than the Premiership, to be honest. This Premiership, you know, there's going to be a couple of teams that are going to be going for the league at the end of the season. But with the Championship, there's so many more teams. I mean, about the same talent and whatever. And there's always some really great games in the Championship with so many teams evenly matched.
Great stuff. Last word, Deuce?
I would just say that, you know, if you do look at the table, you've got Cardiff and Leicester who are at the top, who've been plugging away for long enough. Yeah. Middlesbrough, who have been gradually mounting a genuine promotion campaign.
Which you said the last couple of years, haven't you?
Which I've always said, they are really a sleeping giant. You've got Crystal Palace, who are, I think, a form side, who I can see dropping out of there. Blackburn, who have financially, you know, head and shoulders above everyone in the league.
Yeah.
Then you've got Hull, who again I think is a form thing. But if you look at the next teams that can have an impact on this league campaign, you've got Nottingham Forest, Wolves, Brighton,
Leeds.
who when they get going, they can score goals for fun. Mm. Leeds United, Bolton, and Birmingham as well. So that's what, eight teams that are not in the playoffs probably going. You'd imagine that at least half of those teams are going to be in and around or in the playoff, in the top six, come the end of the season. So that means that they've got four teams that have got to make way from that top six. I mean, I can imagine that Birmingham for sure, and Blackpool, and I didn't mention Blackpool out of all of that as well.
Yeah. Bolton. That's another team.
I can't necessarily see. The thing is with Bolton is they lost so many players at the end of last season, and that is the biggest, most major issue.
There's been no consistency in their season either. No. It's win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, and
they
no
lost.
Runs.
They lost Mwamba, obviously, from their team, and then a host of other players as well. They lost, so they're having to really build from scratch. Mm-hmm. And I think with Friedman, it's probably the infrastructure at the club. And the financial package that has no doubt been offered to him. Yeah. But teams like Blackpool, Birmingham and Wolves, I can definitely 100% see having a major impact on how this season pans out. And like you quite rightly said, Leeds United as well.
Okay, honourable shout out as well for former Cardiff manager Dave Jones at Sheffield Wednesday. Finally secured a win. It's taken some time. Okay, only against lowly Ipswich, but definitely worth a quick honourable mention, I think. So.
Yeah, it's unbelievable where Ipswich are, rock bottom, and
7 points.
I know, that's unbelievable, really. But they got a win on Saturday, and hopefully they can start Wednesday can start moving up the table, because they're another big club. They probably won't be anywhere near the playoffs or anything, but Sheffield Wednesday are a really big club.
Okay, great stuff. So we'll talk UFC in a second, I think, with Mr. Hyder.
Hello, I'm Neville Southall. You're listening to The Sports Show on Radio Cardiff.
Take it away, big man.
Like I said, there's two Ultimate Fighters running at the moment, and they are both very much worth a watch. As I've said numerous times, and I'm fed up with repeating myself, really, a brilliant way for people who want to know a little bit more about MMA and UFC in particular, how it works, what the rules are, how people train for it, because you really get to see everything. You get to watch these fighters who are amateurs or semi-professionals on the verge of getting into the big time, where they want to be in the UFC. You see a lot of talk from Dana White, who is the president of the UFC.
You have big names as the coaches. You know, so you really get to see a lot about how the industry works, how the sport works, how the coaching happens. You can learn all the basics there, and it can be a great stepping stone. And obviously, if you follow it throughout, then you get your first sort of favorite athlete, really. If he was somebody that you've been rooting for, then it's somebody whose career you can watch from the start of their career, and then hopefully onwards to the end of their career. So I would highly recommend that to anybody. And the real big news at the moment in the UFC is the eagerly anticipated return of Georges St-Pierre in his fight to, I don't know whether it's you regain or, you know, put a stamp on your title, because he is the welterweight champion. But Carlos Condit is the interim champion. So I don't know whether Georges St-Pierre is, you know, how does that work? Is he relinquishing his belt? I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, he's defending his belt, I guess, or deciding once and for all who is the welterweight champion. He's fighting against a guy called Carlos Condit, who, like I said, is the interim. And it's a fight that we've been waiting for a very long time. It's going to be so interesting to see Georges St-Pierre back in the ring after a very, very lengthy layoff. Because I believe he missed two fights that he was due to fight in due to injury. And that is why they forced an interim championship. So we really haven't seen him fighting for a very, very long time. And ring rust is very well documented in all combat sports, really. It's going to be a very difficult fight against an opponent who I had been tipping for a very long time to be a potential headache for Georges St-Pierre. So, you know, at his peak of fitness, it would have been a challenge for Georges St-Pierre. And after such a lengthy layoff, it's going to be really, really difficult. So,
you must fear for him as well coming back, because
it's hard for me, because,
you know, any great sports star returning, we got Ricky Hatton coming back into the ring soon, and a slightly different kettle of fish, but it's the same thing, isn't it? You know, someone coming back. How many great comebacks have we seen in boxing?
The thing is, it's a comeback. It's a comeback of sorts, because his comeback is due to injury. He is still the champion, so it's not like he's lost his championship, been out of the ring for a year, and decided to come back. He is the current champion, okay. So he is technically on top of his game. And a year ago, we couldn't find anybody for him to fight because he was so dominant. But it's hard for me, because as scared as I... It's such a weird fight, because I like Carlos Condit. I have always liked him. And I would like to have seen both of these guys fighting at their peak of physical fitness. Because at the moment, if Condit wins this fight, it's going to be, Georges St-Pierre is not fit. So it's kind of a no-win situation for him. If he loses, he loses his belt, and then he's going to have to restart from scratch. If he wins, he's not going to get the full credit that he deserves. And either way, whatever happens, if Georges St-Pierre loses this fight and a rematch, even if he's not going to be the champion anymore, he will be the second best fighter or the third best fighter in that division. And he has got an amazing record, you know, as the amount of title fights that he's had and defended his belt consecutively. I think that whatever happens, the thing is, Georges St-Pierre is a scientist as much as an athlete. So if he loses, and if his parts of his game which are not as strong as they were, he'll come back reinvented, and I'm sure that he will be the champion again soon enough.
Great stuff. Cheers, Juice. It's 7:30, time for the ads. Don't go away. We've got loads coming up. We've got some skiing news. We've got some ice hockey. We've got F1. And, of course, we're going to be talking about this weekend's Premier League and have the Fantasy League Top 10 countdown as well. So plenty to tune in for. Don't go away.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon. On 98.7 FM, Radio Cardiff.
Are you afraid to answer your phone or open your post because your creditors won't leave you alone? Then why not speak to one of Help Debt Plus's qualified advisors, either at your home or over the telephone? They'll take details of your creditors and negotiate with them to reduce your monthly outgoings into one low, affordable payment. Take control of your life again by calling Help Debt Plus on 02920 611 935. There is no charge for discussing your requirements, and they have over 30 years' experience in helping local people just like you. Log on to the Help Debt Plus website for further details.
Monday Breakfast with Reese.
We've got a game of draw something going.
Joe.
You should have seen the snail-shaped frog.
And Mike.
This is Mike here.
Mondays from 7.
You're going to put a large knob of butter in a heavy pan.
On Radio Cardiff.
Monday. I am disgraced to be in the studio with you two juveniles.
What's going on, everybody? I'm DJ Cluedo. If you like UK urban music, especially grime music, and you want to keep up to date with the best of the South Wales selection, then catch me live on the award-winning 100% UKG show every Wednesday night from 10 till 12, only on Radio Cardiff 98.7 FM, featuring the South Wales Urban Music Top 10, sponsored by www.hypon.tv.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon on 98.7 FM Radio Cardiff.
So it's 7.32. Very warm welcome back to the Monday Night Sports Show here on Radio Cardiff, 98.7 FM. We're also online at radiocardiff.org. And, of course, you can keep up to date with all the latest press releases and the latest sports news, match reports, etc., etc., and also download our latest shows via our blog, which is radiocardiffsport.blogspot.com. radiocardiffsport.blogspot.com. Now, we've had a tweet in, two actually, from a night ghost. She's from Slovenia, regular listener to this show. And first of all, I'm going to do your second highlight, which is the sad loss by Cardiff Blues again against Leinster away in Dublin this weekend. But she says she's still with them. It's disappointing, but she's going to keep the faith. Well, there's a lot of faith needed there. Coming up this weekend, of course, Friday night, they're playing Munster. And that's going to be a toughie. But the good highlight is Slovenian skiing. And it concerns the Slovenian champion, Tina Mays. Now, currently, the FIS Alpine World Cup is taking place in Austria. And the leading positions in the women's giant slalom, the winner was Tina Mays from Slovenia, who won that. So very, very good indeed. Yeah, fantastic. Slovenian skiing. Brilliant stuff. Great stuff. I'm hearing more and more Slovenians, actually, in the sporting world, sort of popping up here and there. But, yeah, good stuff. OK, yeah. Si, well, it's time for the ice hockey. Here's Mac.
This is Mac Falcon of the Cardiff Devils. You're listening to the Monday Night Sports Show on 98.7 FM. Bang on me.
Well, talking about Mackie Sitton, he was banging him in on Thursday night when we played Dundee Stars. I mean, the first two periods weren't very good at all. I mean, I would have just, if I'd known how bad it was going to be, I probably would have just turned up for the third period. I mean, and that's how good the Devils did play the final period. And Max got two. I mean, as I said, he was certainly banging them in there. I mean, also goals from Max Beerbauer and Chris Blight. I mean, Devils won 4-2. I mean, a lot of people were saying 2-0. I mean, we might as well go. I mean, really disappointed with the performance. But I was saying, I mean, keep the faith. I mean, I'm sure, I mean, the last period is going to be a period worth staying for. And the people I was talking to stayed, and they fairly enjoyed the last period.
You're not a believer in people leaving early, though, are you? Let's be honest.
Whatever the score
under
is,
any circumstances.
No, no. I would always stay, make sure I stay till the end. Yeah. I mean, whatever the score is. I mean, yeah. I remember years ago, City got absolutely hammered up in Wigan, but I was one of the ones that stayed. I know quite a few of my friends at half time had decided, oh, we're going. But I mean, I always stay to make sure I stay to the end, because I remember that, I mean, in the 80s, Cardiff City were playing, well, it was two incidents. We were playing Wrexham, And we won 3-2, and we were late goals there. And John Buchanan's 40-yarder against Swansea. I mean, 3-2, John Buchanan's 40-yarder. I mean, one of the greatest Cardiff City goals ever. I mean, people still talk about it now. I mean, it was such a great goal. But that was right towards the end. I mean, that's one of the reasons I always stayed at the end, because in sport, you never know what's going to happen. But on Saturday, the Devils went up to Coventry. The Dundee game was in the elite league. Then, being on Saturday, Sunday, they had a doubleheader against Coventry Blaze. I mean, Coventry beat us 2-1 up there with our goal coming from Max Beerbrier. I mean, Max is scoring quite a few goals at the moment, which is good to see him and Chris Blight among the goals. Not just Mac, who, as I said, scored 15 goals in 15 by the Dundee. Now it's 15 in 17 because he didn't score at all over the weekend. But our game against Coventry down the ice rink on the big blue tents. We lost 3-2, but Stu McCrae scored two goals. But big talking point was what happened right at the end of the game. I mean, Max Beerbeier had been thrown out of the game. I mean, some crazy refereeing decisions by the officials on the night. I mean, some of the Devils fans are still trying to work out why certain things happened in the game. But the two big enforcers of the team, Olsen and our own Deeds, I mean, had a right ding-dong right at the end. I mean, quite a few of the players were brought in involved. Max Beerbeier had been thrown out of the game. He come back in. I mean, apparently a couple of the fans were involved and all. I mean, there's a big, massive inquiry going into it. I mean, it's on CCTV. The Elite League are having a look. The Devils having a look. Coventry are having a look. I mean, everybody's having a look to see exactly what happened. Because the end of the game, the game didn't finish just before 9:30. So, 8:30, sorry. So, most people were getting ready to go. I mean, because the bus was near enough right outside. And just about to go and just heard a shout. And I turned around and I just seen all hell broke loose over by the two benches. I mean, and the two big guys from both sides were having a tremendous fight, but they've both been thrown out of the they got both thrown out of the game. But as I said, there's some really good fights going on. I mean, the first one I can remember is in the Devils' first season was against Grimsby Buffaloes, one of the most famous bench clearances ever. I mean, everybody was involved. I mean, it was absolutely amazing, that game. we comfortably had won the game. We were in the final to play Aviemore, which we lost, but... And with the restructuring of the league, I mean, as I was walking out, I was talking to Perry Livy, who was one of the guys who played for the Devils at the time, and he was saying, "Why are you looking so glum, mate? I mean, next week there's some changes. I mean, I think you'd be happy when you hear what it is, you'd be happy." And with that, I mean, the following year, I mean, yeah, there were some changes, and, well, the Devils were promoted from the division they were in, and the rest is history. I mean, the Devils went on to bigger and better things, and... Unfortunately, we haven't been able to win any medal trophy since we've been down the bay. But I mean, it looks very doubtful if we're going to do the Challenge Cup. I mean, they've changed the structure this time. There's top four teams qualify from both sections. Us and Hull have both got three points. Hull went and beat us. I mean, it was 7-5 up in Hull. We've got them on Thursday, which is an absolutely massive game. We must win that.
Yeah.
Next month we've got Sheffield at home. We have to win that. If we can win those two, I'm not sure who Hull's other game is. But then I think it goes to the amount of games you win in regular time, then extra time, and then you head to heads and whatever. So I mean, a strong possibility the Devils can still get that last place. But it probably would be that we would have to play Belfast, who this season of two times we played them, they've had our number. So.
Yeah.
But there's still games to go, so anything could happen, and hopefully Belfast don't, and one of the other Scottish teams, can win that group, and Devils can go a bit further. But as usual, the league is pretty close to the one, a lot closer than people thought. But knowing the Devils, it'd be the playoffs and be the most exciting time.
Great stuff. Any views on what we've had to say this evening? Don't forget, you can give us a call on 0292023564. That's 0292023564. 23564 or send us a text on 07728 758 759. That's 07728 758 759. Now, Si, Formula One, quick mention. Sebastian Vettel is my highlight at the top. His fourth consecutive Grand Prix win in India this time. It's taken him, you know, to the top of the championship now with a lead over Alonso. Although he did finish second, of course, in this race, did Fernando. So it's a two-horse race now, but Vettel on this form. Four races to go.
Three
races to go.
Three races to go.
So what do you reckon? I mean, surely it is. He's wrapped it up.
Well, it looks that way. I mean, with the last three being Abu Dhabi, US, United States of America's one, and the final win in Brazil. Yeah. But with what's the saving? Sebastian's going to have a problem with his car, and something's going to happen, and he's going to have to pull out. He has problems, and he doesn't finish towards there. Alonso could win a Grand Prix, pick a couple of points. He's only. With three races to go, as I said, he's only 13 points behind.
Yeah. One DNF, that's it.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. I mean, but the most exciting thing other than that is probably for third place. I mean, you've got Raikkonen 173 points, Webber's 167, Hamilton is 165. So that is really, really, really close. But it's still been good to see that Alonso was able to finish second. Because at the time, starting the gate, it looked like probably Webber, Hamilton probably would finish above him, but he started on a good fifth, so he moved up to second, which is pretty good. He was able to close the gap to what it basically could be in a really big, a lot bigger the gap. But he's, as I said, only 13 points in it, three races to go. I mean, it's still anybody's. But as you say, the man in form is Sebastian Vettel, and two-time world champion in the last 2 years. I mean, certainly he's got to be the man to have your money on in this season.
Definitely. Great stuff, Si. Thank you very much indeed.
Across Cardiff on 98.7 FM and online at radiocardiff.org.uk. You're listening to Radio Cardiff Sport.
Only on Radio Cardiff.
So, Si, I know you got some NFL news for us.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was the NFL game at Wembley. Over 80,000 people turned up for that game. New England Patriots beating San Luis. Louis Cardinals 45-7. Cardinals went 7-0 up. I mean, it was one-way traffic then. I mean, New England Patriots winning 45-7. But the next two years, I mean, next year, Minnesota Vikings versus Pittsburgh Steelers on the 29th of September. And then Jacksonville Jaguars versus San Francisco 49ers on the 27th of October. So two really exciting NFL games coming up. I mean, Cardiff was actually shortlisted for it, with a couple of other places coming over, but the NFL decided to do a second one at Wembley.
Well, it'd certainly be great if Cardiff could get it. I've got to be honest with you, though, I still don't get NFL. I know we've mentioned this on the show, but I just don't get it.
It's a complicated sport.
I don't get it.
It's a very underrated sport, actually, in Britain. You've got a lot of British fans that absolutely go crazy for it. They stay up to all sorts of hours in the night to watch it, or they record it and they watch it the next day. Yeah. I know people that watch every single match in the NFL in the same way that we watch Match of the Day. They watch the NFL highlights, and they've got teams that they support, and they support throughout an entire season. It is an absolutely mind-boggling sport, and these athletes are... You don't get... Britain has no equivalent to these athletes. And I know that that is going to be very controversial to a lot of people. But to be honest with you, I don't care. Anybody that watches it and takes an interest in it and follows it properly would not be able to argue. They are fitter. They are stronger. They are better at what they do. And technically, the common misconception has always been it's the wimps game because they got their helmets and everything else. If you watch a full game of American football...
I would never say it's a wimps game.
You would realise, actually, that there's a reason that they wear pads and there's a reason why they wear helmets, because if they didn't, they wouldn't make it through a match. They'd be dead. It's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous the pain barriers that they play through and the injuries that people sustain and they continue to play and the injections that they have and the painkillers that they take. It absolutely ridiculous. And the technicalities that these athletes have to compute at all times when they're running the plays and everything else, it really is another level. And I'd love to have a game here in our fair city. I would 100% be attending.
Yeah. Great stuff. Fantastic. Now then, it's time for the Fantasy League. Now then, Yusuf, you are currently actually in the dark about this one. Simon, you've been having a sneaky look, I assume.
Yeah.
And you're a happy man? Or
I'm more than happy. For one certain reason.
Now, I know what's going to happen here. It's going to be some loving between you two. I know what's going to happen. Now, Yus, last week, you BBM'd me after the show and called me a name because you weren't in the studio because you were saying goodbye to our guests. But you called me a name because you did well last week. Now, talk us through very briefly your game week last week before I tell you what you did this time.
Well, I had the highest game score last week, which wasn't commented on. Yeah. And I really climbed the table significantly last week. And that's been... I know I had a good week this week also, just by monitoring the scores. And I checked my scores on Saturday, and I know that I was within a whisker of the top 10, which is miraculous. I was like third from bottom.
Right.
I made some changes and things have been working out all right.
You got the highest game score again.
Again, yeah.
And you're now in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we go.
This
is what I constantly strive for.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, your biggest fan is sitting opposite you here. Mr. Williams, your reaction briefly before we have the top 10 countdown.
As I always say, Yusuf's always one to watch when it comes to fantasy football. I mean, no doubt he'd be top 10. Where he is now.
Right, on that note, here is this week's Fantasy League Top 10 Countdown. Down 2 to number 10, Charlie Garner and TJ Hookers on 450. Up 1 to 9, it's Alexandre Rosmeret and Arsenal on 453. And up a massive 7 places to number 8, Yusuf Haider and ABCDEFC on 454. Unchanged at 7, Matthew Eves with Larks FC on 479. Down 4 to number 6, Cal Farmer and Borussia Teeth on 491. And down 1 to number 5 is Emily Klusterman and Klusters Hotspur on 501 points. Down 1 place to number 4, it's Barmo with At Barton Life on 502. Up 3 to number 3, it's Aaron Moran of the A-Team on 503 points. And up 3 places to 2, it's Andrew Birch with Rapid Renalton on 505. Which means for the second consecutive week, our number 1 is Kwame Bannerman with Percy Pigs on 509 points. Happy Haider?
Happy Haider. And I got to say, a lot of credit goes to Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Ruud van Persie.
I've been doing that a lot over the last couple of weeks, actually.
Ruud
van Persie. Allegedly. Anyway, Robin van Persie, who's banging him in for Man United. Yep. And it's been the highlight of my season. We talked about it. I said it was a brilliant move for him. And it's interesting how I've been RVP's one of his biggest haters for a long time, because I kept hearing about how he was the next Bergkamp and everything else, and I was like, blah, blah, blah. He can't play a full season, and I won't jump on the bandwagon. You know, players are what they are, and if they're not playing a full season, they're useless as far as I'm concerned. Last 2 seasons, he's been a lot more consistent with his injuries. The worst seems to be behind him, and he has been banging them in. And he was a key member of my dream team for the last 2 seasons, and again this year. But the way he has bedded into that Man United team, it speaks volumes about his ability.
Yeah.
And he's got to be nailed on for Footballer of the Year. One of them runs over 12 months.
Yes.
Which will be ending at Christmas.
Yeah.
And he has to be nailed on for Footballer of the Year. Yeah.
Absolutely. OK, let's just take a quick look at the Premier League results, starting with Saturday's fixtures. Just to round up, first of all, before we go into any depth, Man City 1, Swansea 0, Arsenal 1, QPR 0, Reading 3, Fulham 3, more on that in a minute, Stoke 0, Sunderland 0, Wigan 2, West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1, Norwich 1. And then on Sunday, Chelsea 2, Manchester United 3, Newcastle 2, West Bromwich Albion 1, Southampton 1, Tottenham 2, and Everton 2, Liverpool 2. Guys, shall we start with Reading against Fulham? An astonishing goal rush at the end there, Si. I've not seen anything like it for ages.
Yeah, it was great. It was another good game. I mean, Reading really struggling at the moment. And Southampton. Two teams have come up. West Ham are doing pretty well. But Southampton have leaked the most goals since in a Premiership for a long time. Reading, a team I thought would have done better than they are doing, but Fulham are doing pretty well. Good to see Bibatov scoring a few goals there. Hopefully he can still keep on banging quite a few more in.
I hope he does. He's in my fantasy team.
Yeah, and he's in mine as well.
Yeah. I've got to turn to you. Everton 2, Liverpool 2. Reaction?
Well, you won't find a better first half than that. anyway, in world football, I doubt. I mean, it was so brilliant to see, as a Liverpool fan, and observe the first 10, 15 minutes and see Liverpool take a 2-0 lead. But the collapse afterwards is just worrying, really, because for the rest of the match, they were lucky not to concede quite a few more goals to Everton. And it's just amazing. It's just a problem within Liverpool, I think, and within the club. There's something's wrong there. Brendan Rodgers made Swansea last year. They were one of the hardest teams to score a goal against, and Liverpool are leaking goals for fun. I mean, it doesn't help that Reina is out, but even when Reina was in the side, he was letting in goals and he was making the mistakes. So it's just such a strange situation, really. On paper, the players have been better than what they've achieved for the longest time, and I don't know what it is. And I hope that Brendan Rodgers gets given the time, and I hope that Brendan Rodgers is the man to lead them to the glory, because the British football isn't the same without a high-end competing Liverpool, I don't think.
Well, they haven't been high-end competing.
They've been consistent, in the Champions League, haven't they? They've been in the Champions League.
They've been
top four. And actually, I will dispute this. Because they've been doing really well in the Champions League. They made two Champions League finals.
We're talking about the Premier League now.
No, I'm talking about British football, English football, specifically.
But we're talking about the Premier League here.
No, I'm talking about Liverpool being one of the most competitive teams in the Premiership. And they consistently did well in the Champions League under Rafa Benitez, making semi-finals, quarter-finals, two finals, like I said, winning the Champions League, winning FA Cups, and being, you know, in the league, they weren't able to knock on that final hurdle. But they've been there or thereabouts. It's even since under Houllier. They finished second under Houllier, and they finished second once under Benitez. And that, for me, is competitive in one of the most competitive leagues in the world. But what we're talking about, in the last two or three years, they've been out of that top elite bracket of four teams.
OK. How about Chelsea 2, Manchester United 3, then? Word on that match, because there's plenty to talk about. Two red cards, of course. One of the biggest ones.
Bad news for Simon Williams there with Fernando Torres as captain in the fantasy league.
Oh dearie me! Right, okay. I didn't realise you did actually. So Torres and who else? Who got the red? Ivanovic. So I had him in my side. Got with the red cards.
I didn't have either. But I did have
Ruud van Nistelrooy. Ruud van Persie.
I think you guys know why I'm making this mistake. But yeah, I did have Van Persie, who was just terrorising teams for fun. He scored a goal and created a goal and was a much better choice as captain.
Mark Clattenburg. A few things being said, or about what he may have allegedly said.
But we don't know what he said.
I mean,
as much as I know at the moment is that mostly focuses around Mikel, but also there's allegations that Juan Manuel Mata has also been dragged into this as well. So the comments
were aimed in his direction. So I find it extremely hard to believe he is what is referred to as an elite, world elite referee. He's in the running for Champions League finals, World Cup finals. He's one of the world's premier officials. And I can't see...
How?
I can't see him being dragged into it or making a mistake. You know, a judgment call, because he knows what the rules are. He officiates the rules. So I can't see him making a bad judgment call unless... I mean, some of these referees are really pally and friendly, and they think they're one of the players, don't they? Maybe he made a bad judgment call about what he felt he could get away with a player and his relationship with those players. I don't know. But I can't... it seems so far-fetched to me. What do you guys think?
Well, it does seem very odd that somebody in his position...
In
this climate,
yeah.
of racial tension, yeah. Let's be honest,
yeah.
Would... commit such an offence. I mean, obviously, let's make this absolutely clear right now. We're talking alleged, you know, where there's nothing definite. It's not known 100% yet what was said. Allegations will be flying around. But it is bizarre, isn't it, Simon?
I mean, the sad thing for me here is that something I haven't heard about, only through reading documents regarding this incident, is that there's talk of a breakaway union for black footballers now. Mm. To be represented individually. And to me, that's the wrong way to go, to be honest with you, because for me, that's a division. That doesn't promote unity to me, you know? I'm not saying that issues should be ignored or brushed under the carpet at all, but what is happening now is a division. If that does come to pass...
But then there are already black player organisations that exist.
Yeah, there are, but I mean, again, this is.
So surely isn't this just an extension of that?
But this is such a social.
I'm playing devil's
topic
advocate.
Here that is gonna that we're gonna start to talk about. But why is there a black breakaway union? And does this mean now there's going to be another breakaway players union for Asian footballers and Australasian footballers and American footballers, South American union? Is this going to be? Is this a division? This is separating. This is not bringing people together. It's pulling them apart. And, you know, is that really what we want? Because is that moving forward or is that moving backwards?
Well, that idea seems to go against everything that...
it's voluntary segregation, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was going to use the word segregation. That's exactly what it is, yeah. It's sort of self-imposed.
Which it's self-imposed. It's off their own backs, but in a way, it's a step backwards. And as far as I'm aware, football and society has been moving forwards. And I'm bemused to where this new outpouring of racial complaints and issues has come from. Because if anything, the Premiership has for a long time been one of the most multicultural football leagues going, and it's paved the way for countries like Italy, say, for example, who were very much, you know, not multicultural. They had Italian players, and that was it. And a few French players and maybe some Spanish players, but they wouldn't typically have black players. Most Italian football clubs wouldn't have black players. That's completely changed now. So I don't understand, and, you know... The Premiership is more multicultural than it's ever been. So I don't understand how we are where we are right now. Because for me, a breakaway players' union is the wrong direction.
Well, it's a controversial point indeed. I really don't think we've got time to even think about adding to it, so Yusuf, I'm afraid. So.
I just wish it would go away. Wish it would go away because people are talking about the wrong things now. And it's just constant. It's not going away. Yeah. And surely football is going in the right direction. Simon, you've been going down to Cardiff City for how long? And do you think things are going better? Or
is that better than it used to be?
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that note, guys, I'm afraid we'll have to draw an end to this debate. And draw an end to the show, in fact. Coming up is the B-Side Rock Show with Alan and Alex here on Radio Cardiff 98.7 FM. This show will be available as a podcast to download from iTunes and from our blog later on this evening. Thank you very much indeed once again for tuning in. We'll be back same time next week, and we'll have plenty more of our award-winning sporting chat and debate for you to listen to. So from Yusuf, from Simon and from me, for this week, goodbye.
The sound of the capital city, Radio Cardiff.
Thank you for downloading the Radio Cardiff Sport Podcast. For more information about the show, go to our blog,
radiocardiffsport.blogspot.com.